Your speaker is Harold Bigham. Our Bible text today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 26 through 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The Lord's Supper is part of the worship done by Christians on the first day of each week. In this act, Christians partake of unleavened bread and drink of the fruit of the vine. The Lord's Supper was instituted by the Lord Himself. Again, as we read in our text, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Matthew 26, 26 through 28. As such, we see the importance of the Lord's Supper, that it was instituted by the Lord Himself. The Apostle Paul spoke of its observance as a commandment when he said, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" 1 Corinthians 11:24 and 25. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. Christians eat the bread in memory of His body, that is, the body of Christ, and drink the cup in memory of the blood of Christ. Paul again said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.'" 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 25. The death of Christ is to be remembered when we observe the Lord's Supper. It was by His death that made the New Testament possible. Where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Hebrews 9:16. Jesus' blood was shed for the remission of our sins, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1 and in verse 7. This is why that we, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, each first day of the week, that we remember what Jesus did for us as He died upon the cruel cross of Calvary. But then as well, the Lord's Supper is a proclamation. We proclaim our faith in the effectiveness and the value of the Lord's death. Again, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." When partaking of the Lord's Supper, we stress the importance of His death. Jesus' death was of the greatest value known to man, because Jesus died for our sins. We cannot die for our sins because we are sinners. But Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, and therefore we see that He is the only one that could die for our sins. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 5:6-9. Paul says, while we were yet sinners, including himself, including you and I, and therefore we cannot die for our sins, and we cannot die for anyone else, Christ died for us. He is the one that died upon the cross of Calvary. And as we realize that, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim our faith to a dying world about the reason that Jesus died on the cross. We also proclaim our faith that Jesus will return one day. Again, the Bible says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, that is, that as often as you partake of the Lord's Supper, you do show the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians 11:26. My friend, we partake of the Lord's Supper until he returns or till he comes. The Lord's Supper is a proclamation of the Christian's faith that looks ahead with the greatest of satisfaction, as well as backward to the events of the cross of Calvary, that we have the great anticipation that Jesus will be coming back once again, the second coming of Christ. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim that, as well as we look backward to the events of that day of the cruel cross of Calvary. Yes, the Lord's Supper is a proclamation of our faith. But then as well, the Lord's Supper is a communion. Christians fellowship or commune with the blood of Christ. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 10:16. This is fellowship with the body of Christ, or with each member of the Lord's church who partakes of the Lord's Supper. Paul again would say, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. 1 Corinthians 10:17. So as we partake of the Lord's Supper, as a Christian, we commune with the body of Christ. We have fellowship one with another. The disciples came together to break bread. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. And he continued his speech until midnight. Acts 27. Paul commanded that when they came together, they were to wait for one another. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. 1 Corinthians 11:33. By partaking together of the Lord's Supper, Christians demonstrate that they are one bread and one body. Paul stated, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. 1 Corinthians 10:17. Members of the Lord's body, the church of Christ, show unity when they together partake of the Lord's Supper. Therefore, the Lord's Supper is a communion with the body of Christ, as we also have fellowship with God Almighty. But then, finally today, the Lord's Supper is to be taken only on the first day of each week. Christians came together in New Testament times on the first day of the week to break bread. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Acts 27. What does it mean to break bread? Break bread is a synecdoche, which is a part of speech that stands for the whole. In other words, this figure of speech shows that breaking bread stands for partaking of the Lord's Supper. The disciples came together upon the first day of the week, which is Sunday, and they partook of the Lord's Supper in their worship to God. The church at Corinth was coming together to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Paul rebukes them for their abuse of the Lord's Supper and treating the Lord's Supper as a common meal. 1 Corinthians 11 and in verse 17 beginning. Paul wrote, therefore, that they, when they came together, that they are not to abuse the Lord's Supper. It is not a common meal. But as you partake of the Lord's Supper, that your concentration should be upon the Lord's death, as He died upon the cross for you and I. That we are to remember what the Lord did for us, that His death, His burial, and resurrection, that we remember that as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Paul also wrote about instructions on giving, which also implies their coming together was upon the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. The Lord's Supper gives the Christian hope and strength. It gives the Christian the assurance that Jesus will come back again. God's plan reveals that after hearing the gospel taught, that we are to have faith. Romans 10:17, Mark 16:15-16. This faith leads us to repent of our sins and to confess the good name of Christ as the only begotten Son of God. Luke 13:3-5, Romans 10:9-10. As we learn as well, the final step of God's plan of salvation is scriptural baptism for the remission of our sins. Acts 2:38. My friend, will you consider our study today? Obey the gospel and be added unto the Lord's church. Live a faithful life until you die for Him, Revelation 2:10, to go to heaven in the after while.